Briefing. Senility in high office. President Lear. Even leaders who are spry for their age eventually lose their grip.
History, science, and common sense concur. Even great leaders age. In 1953, during his second stint as Prime Minister, Winston Churchill had a stroke after dinner. No one seemed alarmed by his slurred speech and unsteadiness on his feet, one of the advantages of having a reputation for enjoying alcohol, writes Andrew Roberts, a historian. For several weeks, as Churchill was incapable of governing, his son-in-law and private secretary, in effect, ran the country. He never fully recovered, yet refused to stand down until 1955, when he was 80. Churchill is now often speechless in cabinet. Alternatively, he rambles about nothing, wrote Harold Macmillan, a future Conservative Prime Minister, in 1954. For most people, cognitive decline is a private tragedy, scarring loved ones, but few others. When it afflicts political leaders, the damage can be catastrophic. Paul von Hindenburg, Germany's president in 1933, was no fan of Adolf Hitler, but let him become chancellor to break a political stalemate. Some historians blame this epic misjudgment on the fact that he was 85, exhausted, and perhaps suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Because getting to the top requires such stamina, many successful politicians are super-agers, people who preserve their physical and mental fitness into old age far better than the average. Researchers at the Messalam Center at Northwestern University near Chicago have found that the brains of cognitive superagers, defined as people aged 80 and over, whose performance on memory tests is on a par with those 2 or 3 decades younger, shrink more slowly in old age than those of their normal contemporaries by 1.1% a year instead of 2.2%. Specifically, superagers' cingulate cortices, a bit of the brain important for memory, attention, cognitive control and motivation, remain comparable in thickness to someone in middle age, and their von Economo neurons, cells in the cingulate cortex linked to social intelligence and awareness, are present at higher density than in a typical middle-aged person. They also seem to have fewer of the protein tangles associated with Alzheimer's disease than their contemporaries. What President Joe Biden's cingulate cortex looks like is not public information. Both he and Donald Trump were assessed in 2020 by Jay Olshansky, a gerontologist at the University of Illinois, and a team of colleagues, using what information was available. They predicted that the probability of either man surviving the presidential term both were then seeking was more than 90%. For both of them, that was several percentage points more than the actuarial average for men of their age. However, high office takes a toll, and even superagers must eventually deteriorate. The trouble is that they often fail to accept this fact, and the people around them, whose jobs may depend on the big guy keeping his, have every incentive to deny or conceal it. The British public was kept largely in the dark about Churchill's fading capacities. American voters were blithely unaware when they re-elected Franklin Roosevelt in 1944 that his doctor doubted he would survive another term. Aides to Jacques Chirac, France's president from 1995 to 2007, were evasive about a stroke he suffered in 2005. Dictatorships are especially prone to denial and deception. If the leader is erratic but still in control, aides are scared to tell him, despots are nearly always male, that he is not as sharp as he was. If he loses his grip, the aides have a chance to wield power themselves by controlling access to the throne. Leonid Brezhnev, the leader of the Soviet Union from 1964 to 1982, was rendered barely coherent by strokes in the mid-1970s. yet his colleagues kept him in place until he died. As Stephen Kotkin, a historian, noted, even after he began drooling on himself in appearances on Soviet television, the clique around him took no action other than to nominate him for still more medals. Their motives were selfish. With no one supervising them, each minister could do what he liked in his personal fief. Strategic thinking evaporated. The army blundered into Afghanistan. The Soviet Union eventually fell apart. Plenty of modern autocracies keep ailing leaders in office. Saudi Arabia is formally ruled by the 88-year-old King Salman, but real power lies with his son, Crown Prince Mohammed. The strings controlling Cameroon's 91-year-old leader, Poul Biya, who can barely read a speech, are thought to be pulled by his wife. In Algeria until 2019, the top brass propped up President Abdelaziz Bouteflika, literally, and shared power among themselves. Such arrangements are unstable, because a senile leader must eventually die. Zimbabwe's President Emmerson Mnangagwa anticipated this by overthrowing his doddering predecessor and mentor, Robert Mugabe, in 2017. In Malawi in 2012, the ruling party pretended that a dead president was still alive while factions jockeyed for position. Some think this happened in Nigeria too. In the 6 months before his death was announced in 2010, President Umaru Yar'Adua was never seen in public. Deception about senescence at the top is harder in democracies with inquisitive media, and in parliamentary systems, where the Prime Minister must submit to regular questioning. In a presidential system such as America's, aides may find it easier to keep their boss away from unscripted events. Mr. Biden's aides have been accused of doing just that. But even if they were to continue to do so, clips of his disastrous debate will keep playing. Voters may not grasp the nuances of fiscal or foreign policy, but most have seen aging close up and understand that it is a one-way process. Dr. Olshansky reserves judgment about Mr. Biden's sharpness. He says he has received updated medical records from Mr. Biden, though not from Mr. Trump, but would need to hear more from Mr. Biden's doctor following the debate before making any new estimate of the candidate's condition. From George Washington to Nelson Mandela, history tends to smile on leaders who bowed out before they had to. For the rest, Goethe has the last word. An old man is always a King Lear.